Well, let me tell you, up on the coasttocoastam.com website, and I want to warn you, I don't want you coming back to me saying, you should have told me. This has got some audio to it, and look at the video. It's called Rubber Johnny by director Chris Cunningham. And Chris has done some music videos in the past. He's a phenomenal director. He did the special effects for Aliens. Take a look at this video. You'll see it under the feature story at coasttocoastam.com. It is meant to scare the living daylights out of you. That's the intent. But if you're a little woozy about stuff, faint of heart, please don't watch it. I don't want any fast blasts or emails from people saying, you didn't warn me, how could you, cheap shot. Don't look at it. Those of you, on the other hand, who are tough, you think you're tough, go ahead, take a peek at it. It is scary. You know, over the last couple weeks, I have seen two movies on cable that I had to watch. And they're old ones, and they're primarily for kids, but they are so weird that they're fun. Well, one, of course, starred Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter. It was done in 1989, I believe, called Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Now, they were basically time travelers, and it's just a funny, great little movie. Bizarre. And then there's another one with Howie Mandel called Little Monsters. And this has got to be one of the strangest movies I've ever seen. And I'm wondering, being out here in Los Angeles, how these great minds conceive of these things, because they are really weird movies. So in addition to that, in this video you're going to see on the coasttocoastam.com website called Rubber Johnny, I'm also going to open up a bizarre hotline just for you to share some of your bizarre stories that probably have happened to you or to friends over the years. This is the night to share them with us. The special hotline then, bizarre hotline, here's the number, 818-817-0021, 818-817-0021 for the bizarre hotline. A little bit later on, I'll tell you about an email I got from someone. They used to harass Art Bell. Remember, every once in a while, JC will call Art's program. Now I'm being accused by a woman by the name of Edna Pringle of ducking JC. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. Open lines now on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We'll go right to your calls. Listen to this email I get from John. It says, George, I never saw a doppelganger, but I know I have a double who I never met, but must have looked just like me. His name is Jerry. He worked in the World Trade Center. I worked one block away a few years back, and my cousin Raymond worked in the Trade Center, so I'd walk over and meet him for lunch every day without fail. Outside of the Trade Center, someone would pass by me and say, hi, Jerry. I always looked around for him because I wanted to see the guy everyone thought I was, but never saw him. And since 9/11, all those businesses have relocated, so I probably never will. But I know some guy named Jerry looks just like me and worked a block away. That's John from Newton, New Jersey. Strange doppelgangers. You're double out there somewhere. But this one's a doppelganger is a mischievous one. You're the good one. Let's go to the phones west of the Rockies. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George. This is Kevin in Chico, California.
Hi, Kevin. What's up?
Well, I wanted to get a hold of you and Peter Davenport to relate a story I had about UFOs.
Well, Peter's gone, but I'm still here.
Well, if you'd like to hear it, I'd love to tell you.
Sure.
I was working construction security about November-ish of last year when one night at 2 o'clock in the morning, I look up. Sudden cloud cover. Had been a perfectly clear sky beforehand. Sudden cloud cover just rolls in. And I'm looking at these clouds, and I'm going, wow, these clouds are moving really fast because the stars are flitting around real quick. Well, then it hit me. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I got arc lights. I shouldn't be seeing this many stars. So I start looking at the black space in between where the spaces of the clouds are. Clouds aren't moving. It was the stars. So I figured, whoa, how many UFOs I'm seeing here? So I widened up my space of view, and ooh, they were everywhere.
I saw some video of some UFOs in Mexico. There must have been 200 little UFO spots up there.
So I figured roughly the same on this one. Easily 200, maybe up to 1,000.
Yeah.
It was just ridiculous.
That is strange. You don't think they were like ice crystals in the atmosphere or anything like that?
I've seen meteorites come through in this town before because there are vantage points where it's beautiful sky and no city lights. They always leave a trail behind them. I've seen junk, you know, space junk flitting around reflecting sunlight. They only light up for a few seconds. I pulled out my flashlight and shined at a couple. They stopped motion, reversed, and hid behind the clouds like, you know, I don't want to be seen. It was weird.
You convinced we've been visited?
I'm convinced we've been visited. You know, maybe we're just a tourist attraction on the way to some other place.
You may be right about that. Thanks for sharing that with us. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Well, a very strange tie-in. You talk about UFOs a lot, of course.
Sure.
And Ascended Masters. I was wondering if anyone has ever mentioned the name Ashtar or the Ashtar Command.
I've heard it. Yeah, I've heard the name. I can't remember what guest mentioned it.
I couldn't tell you. All I know is I've been doing some research with Ascended Masters and the Theosophical Society and everything, and evidently this Ashtar is an Ascended Master that assists human beings and extraterrestrials in sort of a harmonious, you know, type meeting, a connection between the two or many more species of ETs and humans.
Well, tell me a little bit more about Ashtar.
That's basically his function as an Ascended Master. He's to relieve the fears that people have against the malicious extraterrestrials.
He's not doing a very good job then.
No, he's not. And he operates from a giant spaceship. Essentially a spaceship called the Ashtar Command.
Ashtar Command. Okay, I'll do a little more homework into that. I'm always up for learning some new things. Next up, let's go to our next wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Blair in Sedona.
Hi, Blair. How are you?
Well, I'm pretty good. Boy, that's interesting about the Ashtar Command because I just got a book that says, according to the Ashtar Command, be not deceived by the calls for peace voiced by those who dedicate their energies to the perfection of weapons of destruction.
Weird timing, isn't it?
Well, I had a 100-year-old girlfriend here that drew me here that was into the Ashtar Command. She lived to be 104.
Well, wait a minute. You had a 104-year-old girlfriend?
Oh, God bless her. Her name was Iris Clark. Yeah. She
How
was
old four. Are you?
I'm 54.
You dated a 104-year-old woman?
All right. Well, no, I'm getting trapped now. She believed in reincarnation. I sort of sat on the fence until she talked about that we were lovers in past lives.
So you were adding up all her years, maybe, from past lives?
Oh, my God. Listen, when she was 100 years old, I went tent camping with her in the Grand Tetons. This is no lie, in 1996.
Now, wait. When you...
This is the truth.
You said 100 years old. You're saying 100 real years.
She was born in 1895 in the Cherokee Strip of Oklahoma Territory.
She went camping?
And she went camping.
She's moving and stuff? I don't want to be disrespectful,
camping.
But I mean... She could walk okay?
My God, she walked without a cane. This woman was incredibly strong. She facilitated Dr. Hertak's Keys of Enoch classes here in Sedona.
Sure.
She wrote a book for women called Forever Young, and she updated it in her 98th year. I mean, she was an incredible inspiration.
Where did you meet her?
I met her in 1995. I was vacationing with my roommate from the Navy, Flagstaff. We came back from the Boynton Canyon vortex, and she had a Tuesday afternoon class, and our eyes locked.
How old were you?
This is 1995, so that was 10 years ago.
Years
I was 44, and she was 98 at the time.
I'm sorry for laughing. That's not nice of me to do that.
That's okay.
It's weird. I mean, I've heard of younger women dating older guys, but this one's a first for me.
Well, George, there was a spiritual connection. She drew me from Dallas out to here to do the work, and
well, you know what? If you're in love, you're in love. Doggone it! And if it worked for you, it worked for you. You know, and who is it for me to throw stones at your relationship?
Well,
you're
right. Obviously, you're not going to have a dating game for the older women and the younger men on this show.
Right? You'd call in. You'd be one of the first callers, I bet.
Well, my goodness, I wanted to talk about why NASA is withdrawing all their information from Comet Tempel-1's deep impact.
Now, don't take away Richard C. Hoagland's thunder next week, because he's going to chat about that.
Well, I'll let Richard do that. He's got a great blog. If people pull up on that, they'll find out some stuff. But I made that prediction on Art's show on about this energy that's coming down, and there could be some financial disruptions this year. I think Sean David Morton talked about a new currency that's going to be used overseas. This is an energy that is something that people have to realize. That's a living entity, that comet. You didn't see a ball of ice there. Unidentified spectral features came off on the impact, George. There's something coming back to us that's echoing back that we better be braced for. Could be fires. Who knows? But do some prayers, and let's hope that we can get through this transition.
Okay. Well, all right. And you're doing okay. Now you've lost your girlfriend, so...
Well, again, no, I can still... there's something about true love, you know, when you... it's not lost. It's just that we're in a denser dimension here, and, the things that happen in life, that the coincidences and the little energies that happen, the little signals you get from Mother Nature, you know that she's still around.
You're an amazing person, my friend.
Oh, well, George, thank you very much.
All right, take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
All right. Did anybody, by the way, see Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure of the Little Monsters? Fast blast me. Incredible movies. Hey, by the way, I was telling you about, Art gets this call every once in a while from this fellow by the name of JC, who does all this pontification. And Art has read on the air before emails that he gets from, I guess, JC's secretary, girlfriend, whatever she might be, Edna Pringle. I am getting from her the weirdest, strangest emails I've ever seen. I can't read the thing for you verbatim because she throws in a few little foul words here, Edna, but listen to this. It's to me. You ducking JC, you lie so much, you filthy. I won't repeat the end. You say he won't call in, but your screeners never let him through. Now, I checked with Tom, by the way, and Tom said JC's never tried to call through when I'm on. Then you liar, you're afraid of him. You're afraid of me. You're afraid of the great and honorable J.C. Webster III. So we finally found out J.C.'s last name. Be a man. At least don't lie about my intonations to call. And that's from Edna Pringle. Well, Edna, if J.C. ever calls in, we'll chat with him. I don't know how long, but we'll give it our best shot. Let's go to our special topic line, the Bizarre Line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Central Illinois.
Okay. Whereabouts? I know that area quite well.
Right around the Peoria area.
Okay. Know it.
Enjoy your show, by the way. You've really done a great job since Art took over.
Thank you.
But I've got a strange thing that happened. I'm 45 years old, and when I was 18, me and my cousin was out and about on the town. We lived in Tennessee at the time, and we met two really beautiful ladies. And we kind of went out with them that night, went to their house, and really had a good time. And the next day, we thought we had such a great time, we was going to go back and visit them again.
You wanted another good time.
Right. So we went back, and they lived out on this country road. And when we got there, we seen the house was completely burned down. I mean, there was nothing left of this house. It was like, oh, my gosh, what happened? So we went up to the gas station, which was up probably about a half mile or so from where her house was, and we asked them, what happened? Do you know what happened? Did the house catch on fire last night? And they said, what are you talking about? And we said, the house back here on the country road, big house, and described it. And they said, man, that house has been burned down for like over 10 years. So I don't know if it was demons, witches, or what, but it's affected both of us ever since then because we have yet to figure out what happened.
Oh, it's got to be driving you nuts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have to say it was one of the best nights I've ever had in my life, but...
What a trade-out.
What a trade-out. Yeah.
You know what? Life is full of consequences, my friend. No matter what you do, there's always yin and yang. I shouldn't say yin and yang in this case, but there's always consequences. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
George?
Yes?
This is Brian.
Hi, Brian.
How you doing?
Good. Where are you?
In Seattle.
Okay. What's up?
I had this experience with a shadow person.
How so?
I was laying in my bed, and I had been asleep, but I woke up in my room, in my bed, and the light in my room was, it was dark, but I was totally cognizant and aware of what was going on. And
how could it be dark if you had a light in your room?
Well, no, it was like the shades were open in my room, so I kind of had light coming in.
Oh, light coming in, okay.
Yeah, and the shadow being was at my bed, and I raised up towards it, and it felt more like I was astrally projecting or something. I mean, my body was my bed, but I was reaching out towards this shadow being.
And what was this being doing, just like hanging around?
Yeah, it was just at the end of my bed.
Did you sense anything from it? Evil, fun, anything like that?
No, it was just freaky that it was there. But the weird part was I grabbed it.
What do you mean you grabbed it? You can't grab a shadow person. Your hands will go right through it.
Well, I grabbed it, and when I grabbed it, its mass was like tar.
Tar? And, was it like sticky stuff all over you?
Yeah, well, when I pulled my hand back, the flesh, the substance of this being stretched and stuck to my skin.
Yuck.
And then the tar-like substance kind of started crawling up my arm like it was taking over my body.
What did you do?
Once that started happening, I just freaked out, and I felt like I popped back into my body and woke back up.
And there was no tar substance on you, nothing like that?
No, but it was one of those weird things. It was like...
Well, let me tell you this. In your astral body, there are various levels, okay? I think there are 7 different levels. The bottom level, you're dealing with some pretty unscrupulous beings. And then the higher you go, the more you evolve into something. You know, you get to that light at the top. It's very possible, Brian, that you went through these low levels when you were astrally projecting, and that one of these horrible demons... Do you remember the movie Ghost? Where, whenever these guys would do anything bad, these demons would come, and when they died, they'd come and take them, and they made that horrible, you know, sound and things like that. You might have seen those. You might have been at that level.
Yeah, I don't know. It was very strange, though. I mean, you know that scene in The Matrix where the main character reaches out and touches the mirror, and it starts growing up his hand?
Yeah, and he was freaking.
Yeah, that's what it was like, but it was this black tar substance.
You better be careful the next time you do any astral projecting. And I know this one you didn't do on purpose, but you might be going through that strange level, that strange plane that a lot of people have reported on. As a matter of fact, my very first book I read on astral projection, they talked about it, and it scared the living daylights out of these two people from England back in the 1800s. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM. Yes, indeed. And don't forget The Perfect Possession, the free CD, when you order an After Dark newsletter subscription. Call 1-888-727-5505, or you can go online, coasttocoastam.com. Perfect Possession is an interview that Art Bell did many, many years ago with Father Malachi Martin. To the phones we go. Let's pick it up by going to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, George, it's something I've been trying to call you about for a long time. I actually tried to call you on this last Good Friday. You had a guest that was very, but I couldn't get through. It was something that happened to me about, I don't know, it was in 1999. I didn't know it was actually Good Friday. I left my friend's house on a Thursday night, and I looked up in the sky, and it was like somebody was playing a movie against the clouds. And I saw a lot of images, and at first I was thinking, oh, this is just, you know, clouds, you know, making shapes and stuff like that. But
yeah.
It was it was very weird, and it wasn't like the shape of the clouds. It was actually like somebody was, and at first I thought, I wonder if somebody's projecting something onto the clouds. I saw faces, and I saw images of caves, and some of the stuff I was thinking, in my back of my head, I was thinking, boy, some of this kind of looks biblical, but, you know, didn't really, and I didn't think, you know, it was anything yet. And then it was a really bright night. The moon was bright. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I looked over to where it was the brightest spot, and the sky was clear. It was a partially cloudy night. And I saw what looked to me like very ethereal beings. And they were like in four points in a circle around the halo that the moon was making. And they were like one at a time moving from the outside into the middle. And like when they got to the brightest point, they would just disappear. And that's when I started to get kind of freaked out. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, what am I seeing? And a little while after that, I was just watching this, and it was a long time that this was going on. I just stood there enthralled by this. I looked up, and right above me, it looked like were two, what I would say would be solid people. But to me, all they were was black, because the moon was so bright behind them, they were just blocking out the light.
How big were they?
Well, what was weird was at first they were very tiny, and there were two of them. And one of them, all of a sudden, like I looked up, and like I don't know if it was like I looked at them and they noticed I was noticing. One of them moved down towards me, and as they moved, it got bigger, and the other one kind of moved down a little bit too. And this is what was weird about it: is one looked to me like as if it was the outside, you know, a cookie cutter outline of a female, and the other one was male. And basically, it came down, you know, to where it got, you know, to the point where it looked like it would have been a person's, you know, about the size of a person, and, you know, but still was pretty far above me, and just kind of hovered there for a minute, and then went back up, and they kind of like receded until I couldn't see them anymore.
At what point were you shaking your head going, something's wrong here?
Yeah, so I've never had any kind of hallucinations before this or after this. I went back to my friend's house and got him and said, hey, man, this wouldn't stop. It was still going on. The images were still playing across the scouts. The little ethereal beings were still moving into the middle, and I got my friend to come out, but he wouldn't step into the opening. It, the way his apartment was, there was a lot of trees, and you had to be standing right in the middle of the street, you know, leading to his apartment and looking up into the open sky. And he wouldn't step out and look. He was just like, you know, I don't know what you're doing, man. I don't. And he would not come out. It was like, you know, I don't want to see this. I'm afraid if I step out, whatever you're seeing is real.
Well, and that is strange.
Yeah. And now the only other thing, just real quick, was I didn't learn that there was a name. The only other weird thing that ever happened to me was I found out from your show this thing about sliders.
Yes.
And when I was a kid, I you know, would come home late at night because my brother, who, you know, didn't care, was watching me most of the time, be coming home from 7-Eleven. And I'd be scared, and I would go under a streetlight. It would go off, and I would get terrified, and I would start running home, and I'd have three or four go off. And that stopped, you know, after I got older, and it didn't happen to me again until after I was in the Army and I had a bad jump where I got a concussion. I basically passed the 209 guys that were in front of me and hit the ground first.
Oh,
I got a concussion.
God.
And after that, it started happening. To this day, it happens to me, but usually, and the funniest thing is it only happens when I'm extremely distracted. Often when I'm listening to your show, if I'm concentrated on a streetlight, it'll actually go back on again. But if I'm like distracted and thinking about something, or if I'm like something just happened to me and I'm really intensely thinking about it, as soon as I drive by a streetlight, it goes out.
Have you noticed if you start or stop watches and things like that?
Yeah. You know, mostly it's been, I mess up compasses. When I hold compasses, the needle will not go point in the right direction. That's the only other thing other than lights. I make light bulbs burn out. I mean, they'll actually pop. When I was a kid at that time when it was happening, I made the light bulb in my room go out all the time. When I would reach and grab that switch, that sucker would, and it has happened to me on other light bulbs.
Could you pop a light bulb just by concentrating on it?
I've had, and George, I can still go there. There's a light by a Taco Bell near my work, and I don't know what the deal was. If it's like on an old telephone pole, and if I sit there and distract myself enough, I can make that sucker start to flicker and go out, and then if I look at it, it'll pop back up again. And I mean, it's that controlled. The minute I draw my attention back onto it, it lights back up full bright again. And the night that I was able to control it was a night that I actually kind of got dropped by this girl. And I was sitting there at this Taco Bell, and I wasn't meeting her. And I was all just like intensely thinking about it. And that's when this thing, and I think I was able to kind of stay in that semi-distracted state because of what had happened to me. And so that light just kept on kind of going in and out, in and out. When I would look at it and think about it, it would pop back on again. So,
well, you know, let me tell you, it sounds like you always had this ability, but then when you had your accident, it magnified it all over again. And that's an incredible, I don't know if I could call it a gift or not, because what can you do with it if you, you know, keep blowing out light bulbs and other things like that? Let's go to our bizarre hotline. You're on Coast to Coast AM. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Great. Love your show, George. Thank really you. Enjoy listening to it.
Thank you, sir. Where might you be, by the way?
Mobile, Alabama.
Okay. What happened to you that was so bizarre?
Well, first off, I want to tell you, I'm not really given to any of this. I've only had a couple of situations in my life that I could consider really bizarre. But the one I want to tell you about was about 10 years ago. My daughter had been born probably about a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years. And my wife was really going through a hard time. She had a lot of mental depression. And
yeah.
I don't know if you would call it postpartum depression or what it was.
That happens a lot, too. It does.
But I was real concerned about her and everything. And we had tried to work through it. And I tried to help her every way I knew. And one night we were asleep in the bed. And I have one of the little digital clocks next to my bed, and I normally don't use an alarm clock. I just wake up whenever I'm supposed to.
Sure.
But this particular night, I woke up and I looked at the clock. I was facing the clock, and it said 3 o'clock. And as I turned in the bed, there was just huge beings. I mean, they were bigger than anybody or anything I'd ever seen, standing on her side of the bed. And immediately I thought, in my mind, I said, I'm asleep. So I sat up in the bed, and as I sat up in the bed, I was looking at them trying to make out what they were. Of course, it was dark in the room, but it wasn't so dark. There was a little bit of moonlight filtering in through the windows. And I could see that all three of the beings had long hair. I could see a blonde. I knew there was a blonde, and there was two dark-headed ones, but I could not see their faces. I just knew they were real big, and what was so funny was that I was not frightened by them.
Well, did they calm you?
Yeah, I mean, I felt perfectly calm. I didn't feel any anxiety. I didn't feel any fear. I felt it was almost like a peaceful feeling. And as I was sitting up in the bed, I was looking at them, and I said, "Man, I've got to wake my wife. My wife has got to see this." So I reached over and I shook her as hard as I could, and told her, "I said, get up. You've got to see this." And she would not wake up.
Ugh.
I could not get her to wake up. Well, as I did that, they started backing up, and we have a very large walk-in closet.
Almost like they wanted to get away?
Right. Well, it wasn't like a fast thing.
Yeah.
It was like just a slow motion backwards, and then they faded into the wall, into the closet. They were gone. And the real thing about it was I got up. I could not sleep anymore. I just couldn't sleep. I'm thinking, well, I'm hallucinating this whole time, you know, because I'm not given to anything like this. And as I got up, I stayed up until about 6 o'clock that morning, and I heard our baby in the crib moving around. And she could only say two words. And the first word she ever said was "dad, dad" for me. And she could say, I believe the word was "bird," but she would say "burr." But as I went in there, I always used to say, "Baby, how are you this morning? Are you okay?" Just talking to her. And she looked at me plain as day and said, 3 o'clock, Daddy.
No.
3 o'clock. And I even woke, when my wife awoke that morning, I didn't tell her what happened. I told her, I said, go in there and get Kaylee and ask her how was her night, like we normally do.
Yeah.
And when she walked in there, she said, "Baby, how was your night?" She looked at her mother and said, 3 o'clock, Mama, 3 o'clock.
That's an incredible story. Back in a moment. Okay, let's go back to the phones. We'll go to our wild card line. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, George, this is Chris in Northeast Ohio. How
hey,
you doing,
Chris?
Tonight?
Great. How about you?
Pretty good. I've had kind of a interesting experience that I have to call a ghost story because it happened in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I think it might have involved the ghost of a very famous historical figure, that being General William Pitt himself. I was at the Cathedral of Learning. I don't know, are you familiar with that building? It's a big town in Oakland right outside the city.
No, I am not.
Okay, well, General William Pitt was consigned by King George back before the Revolutionary War to fight the French and Indians. He was basically put in charge of the Seven Years' War, but it wasn't until like 2 or 3 years into the Seven Years' War. And he basically chased the French and Indians as far north as Nova Scotia and as far south as Louisiana, which became the Cajuns. It's kind of it's a history that I learned myself in the fourth grade and then revisited in college. And it's fascinating because it's pre-American revolutionary history, and there's really not all that much about General Pitt himself, except in this building, the Cathedral of Learning.
Sounds like you're a history buff, huh?
I am. My brothers are too. But to make a long story short, I was on the 18th floor of this tower. It's a tower that reaches up into the sky, 35 stories, each story having unique qualities, classrooms, reading rooms. But the big reading room is in the top of the tower, and that's where the history of Pittsburgh material is. And what I was doing was basically, it was a hot night, and I would go down to this bathroom, which was on the 18th floor, fill up my water bottles, go through my internet papers, write down notes. It was a nice, cool breeze, you know, because it's been hot all over the East Coast.
Of course, yeah.
And basically spend a little time on the 18th floor. However, it seemed that every time I would go to another floor, the elevator would go back down to the 18th floor. And I felt myself almost communicating, talking out loud or whispering out loud with General Pitt himself, because I don't know all that much about him. I'm kind of surprised that you're unfamiliar with him, but I mean, look at your history. You remember the American Revolution, right?
Oh,
remember?
Of course. Washington. Okay. Of course.
Right. Okay. So you remember that there was a few personalities that are not so well known that fought in the Seven Years' War, and General Pitt was probably the most famous of them.
Maybe you fought alongside him.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that because, you know, I felt like marching orders. This guy is giving me marching orders. I have, like, three backpacks full of stuff, you know, water bottles, my musical equipment, video equipment. I'm basically on the road of visiting friends in Pittsburgh and then back here in Cleveland.
Maybe you played the bugle with him.
Perhaps. You know, it really did feel like marching orders because what the elevator was doing was opening up, closing, opening up again. And closing, like, you know, let's get cracking, you know, because, I mean, there are other students in the building, some which, you know, would come and use the 18th floor. But there's a strange buzz in that building, almost as if there's somebody that's watching over you and helping you with your learning. And I think that might be him, because it turns out General Pitt was a man of peace. He never really wanted to slaughter the French.
Why are you so interested in this? Why are you so interested in this guy?
Well, because General Pitt basically split the French up, drove them into Canada, which eventually formed Canada. His efforts eventually helped to form Canada, separating the French from the American colonialists.
Huh. Okay, I'm going to move on. We're going to take a few more calls, but I think you were reincarnated. I think you were with him. You fought with him. And if you're musically inclined, you were the bugle boy there or something. You probably were. Let's go to our special topic line, our bizarre line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello. We're on delay, and she doesn't know that. But she will within about 2 seconds. Watch. You can hear me.
Huh? Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
I was talking to you about 10 seconds ago.
Oh, sorry.
Turn your radio down.
I was just trying to decide if I should talk to you or not, and then I was trying to decide.
What do you mean? You called, and then you had second thoughts?
Yes.
Why?
because there are some things that you just don't broadcast.
Like what?
Well, like bizarre stories of spiritual happenings.
Well, you're on the bizarre line.
I know.
That means you have to tell us.
Well, I will tell you.
Unless
but are you going to make fun of me and disbelieve me?
Do I ever make fun of anybody?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You've heard the show before, haven't you?
Well, a little bit. This is a new thing for me.
Oh, okay. Well, no, we don't make fun of you, but we are running out of time, so go ahead.
Okay, well, this one time, I don't know what happened exactly, but I was standing outside in my yard. I think I was just waking up or whatever.
Oh, I'm kidding.
It's like, whoops. All right. So I was standing there, and it came to me that I heard that somebody was going to die of cancer within the week.
Oh, my.
It was a very definite thing. There was no questioning time frame or anything. Somebody was dying of cancer within that week. So I thought of my great uncle who I knew had cancer, but when I talked to him, his cancer was in remission. So I had no clue who this person was or if it was real or anything like that.
Okay.
And then I talked to my mom about it, and she said, oh, yeah, her half uncle, her mom's half brother, was terminally ill with cancer, and sure enough, within a couple days, I was at his wake with my grandma.
Oh my!
And this is somebody I didn't even know. You know, I had no idea who he was, no idea he had cancer. But on that morning, when I woke up, I knew that I heard that somebody was dying of cancer that week, and it happened.
And was this a one-time occurrence for you, or does it still happen?
No, I've had other occurrences of different things. And the shadow thing, I've seen shadows. Usually they don't take a shape, but on this one day, about 2 weeks ago, there was actually a shape. And, of course, I analyzed the situation. Was there something creating that shape? Was it my imagination?
Mm-hmm.
Where was the sun? You know, that type of deal. And there was no things that were going to create this shape. It was the shape of a pipe. So
a pipe?
Yeah.
A smoking pipe or like a lead pipe?
A smoking pipe. And in my culture and tradition, those pipes are they're spirits.
Are they really?
In those, yes. And the medicine people or the elder people use those pipes with their communication, healing.
Sounds like you've got some kind of a gift.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, thanks. This hour's done. One more to go on Coast to Coast AM.